Good morning. Let me welcome you to this celebration for Mark Patrick O'Leary. We come together in gratitude to God for the gift of his life. As we come together, I want to remind you that following this service, there is a reception in our education building. And just follow us. We'll lead you to that direction for that time together. We will have the family go to the very back of the room because what we really would like to see is not a long line out the door, but you going ahead and getting some food at the reception, and then in your leisure to go up and say a word to the family just in pacing yourself and trying to avoid long lines and people standing close together. Also, you will see on the back in the obituary, above the obituary, the mention of where memorial gifts can be given in lieu of flowers, and so that is important. And then I want to mention there will be a slide presentation and a song during the service following the time of remembrance. I would say to you, the lyrics of this song are beautiful. They are meaningful to the family. They were meaningful to Mark. And just remember in the title, Murder in the City, that Mark was not murdered, that his death was accidental, it was unexpected. And so perhaps a better title is Death in the City. But listen to the lyrics. It is a beautiful song, and I hope you will enjoy that time and that presentation. As we come together for this time to celebrate Mark's life, listen now to these words of Scripture as our call to worship. For truly our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Peace, said Jesus, peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For as the psalmist reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, and therefore we will not fear. Let us pray. Eternal God, our heavenly Father, you love us with an everlasting love, and you can turn the shadow of death into the light of morning. Help us now to wait upon you with reverent and believing hearts, so that in the silence of this hour, you would speak to us of eternal things, and so that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures and the readings we enjoy this morning, we may have hope and be lifted above any darkness and distress into the light and peace of your presence, O God. For this we pray through the name of your Son, Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me the great hymn of faith, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you. Throughout generations, people of faith have turned to the Scriptures for words of comfort, for words of strength. We will do that often in this service. This morning, I want to offer you a melody of verses from the psalmist. You will note, if you listen, a recurrence of the word rock, which equals strength, of course. You will hear words like love repeated. You will hear hope, all of which tells us about strength that comes from God. And so listen as I read these selected verses. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One thing I ask of the Lord that I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter, and He will set me high on a rock. The eyes of the Lord are on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love, O God, rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Here ends the reading of God's holy word from the Old Testament. And to God's name be all glory and praise, all power and dominion. Amen. At this time, we'll have some other readings that we will enjoy, and I'll ask those to come up in time in turn to read them.
Hi, everyone. I am Mark's sister-in-law and the wife of Mark's beloved twin, David. And I sent Mark the following poem when he was going through a rough time, and so I wanted to share with you not only the poem, but also Mark's response to it, which was very beautiful. So this is George Gray by Edgar Lee Masters. I have studied many times the marble which was chiseled for me, a boat with a furled sail at rest in a harbor. In truth, it pictures not my destination, but my life. For love was offered me, and I shrank from its disillusionment. Sorrow knocked at my door, but I was afraid. Ambition called to me, but I dreaded the chances. Yet all the while I hungered for meaning in my life. And now I know that we must lift the sail and catch the winds of destiny wherever they drive the boat. To put meaning in one's life may end in madness, but life without meaning is the torture of restlessness and vague desire. It is a boat longing for the sea and yet afraid. So Mark texted me the following response, and I honestly thought it was almost as beautiful as the poem itself. So to quote Mark, that poem redefined beauty for me in a very emotional way. It is raw, authentic, provoking. It is honest, accurate, and beautiful, the most basic and important description of human life and the human experience. We try to control it or delusionally convince ourselves we have control over it and us, suppress it, make exceptions for it. But until we are lobotomized or breathe our last breath, this is the truth of the world, and it is also the beauty of it. Happiness is defined exclusively as a juxtaposition to negative emotions. Peaks would not exist without troughs. Resilience would not be obtainable without considerable suffering. Love would not exist without indifference. And life would simply not be worth living if we were on a serotonin dopamine cloud nine forever, being deprived of the most important gift humans have been given, pain. So as you can tell from that, Mark was extremely intelligent, philosophical. He liked to talk about deep and important issues. He was well-written, and I will miss his wisdom a lot. So going forward, I wanted to share one last thing that Mark texted me that gave me some hope for the future, imagining it without Mark. So to give some context, David and I were on a road trip moving cross country, and we were sending Mark's videos from the road from places with horrible urban planning, because if you talk to Mark long enough, he would tell you something about urban planning. It's one of his passions. So we would send him videos of that. We sent him a video from the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota because Mark loved Weird Al, and that was one of his favorite songs. And through all of this, I sent Mark a text, and I just told him how happy I was. And his response back to me was, you have achieved what everyone universally seeks. Don't waste a minute of it. I promised Mark that I wouldn't, and going forward, I plan to honor Mark's memory by being as grateful for the little things in life as Mark was himself, taking his advice to heart to not waste a minute of my painful, messy, but beautiful human experience. And I hope all of you can do the same in Mark's memory. Thank you.
I'll be reading a poem from the Fellowship of the Ring. So as a lot of you probably know, Mark really loved the Lord of the Rings throughout his life, and this poem was one of his favorites. I sit beside the fire and think of all that I have seen, of meadow flowers and butterflies in summers that have been, of yellow leaves and gossamer in autumns that there were, with morning mist and silver sun and wind upon my hair. I sit beside the fire and think of how the world will be when winter comes without a spring that I shall ever see. For still there are so many things that I have never seen. In every word, in every spring, there is a different green. I sit beside the fire and think of people long ago and people who will see a world that I shall never know. But all the while I sit and think of times that there were before, I listen for returning feet and voices at the door.
Hi, I'm Kevin O'Leary, Mark's brother, oldest brother. Mark was probably the first friend that I had. We bonded over Legos, video games, all those things that little boys like. There's three things I really wanted to talk about today. It's things I remember about Mark, things I'm gonna miss. First, Mark had such a unique way of looking at things that nobody else I ever met could think about things that way. Like he'd be presented with a problem and he'd just come up with something out of his head that I could never think of. Like, I like to think I'm kind of smart. I could have never in a million years thought of things the way that Mark thought about them. He was an amazing artist. Like, he would just draw things that came out of his head. I could never draw. The only thing I ever drew, like, in elementary school, we would draw our shoe. I could draw my shoe. That's all I could ever do at art. He would just sit down and draw a cat or something. I could never even begin to draw a cat. And then music. I took years and years of piano lessons. I was pretty good at piano, bassoon. But Mark would just, he listened to music. He really thought and understood. I think he enjoyed music probably more than I ever did. And he just, with the song that we'll play, listened to it a whole bunch of times this week. He was amazingly talented at music. He would just sit down and play on the mandolin he had an accordion. Just strange little things that he just he was good at it. He liked it. The next thing was, I think Mark was really good at thinking about other people. He was really good at giving gifts. He just, he would sit and he would think, and he would take the time, and he would always come up with a really nice, thoughtful gift for whoever. And it may not have been something that costs a lot of money, but it was something you knew he had thought about for you. And last, I'm so sorry he's not going to get to spend any time with my kids, Shannon and Liam. He had a great time playing with blocks, with dolls. He would always come out, and he would always try and play with Shannon. Liam was too small. He couldn't really do too much. 2 weeks before he died, he came over to the house. They were playing with the hose in the backyard. I'm glad they at least got that. It was nice. We have good memories of him. It's not fair, and we'll never forget Mark.
I'm Mark's twin brother, Mark, or David, so. You know, I've stressed about what to say about Mark for a little while, obviously. It's not something I ever thought I'd have to do, and not much I can really say that's going to sum up Mark in just a couple minutes, but he was a complicated guy. He had his faults like the rest of us, but I believe there's a few things to define him. Among those was he was always learning. Mark had a master's degree in urban planning. He lived in Ireland for a long time. He played piano, trumpet, mandolin, accordion. He sang some songs for Priscilla, his girlfriend. When I was going through his stuff this past week, he had books on history, politics, philosophy, cartography, nature, travel, cooking, and more. It seemed like Mark was always looking for something new. He had a ton of different passions. It was really inspiring, and I'm just so sad he's, you know, not gonna have more time to do those things. Mark was also selfless. When we go to college, a lot of people get a degree to do, you know, make some money, and you know, Mark really wasn't about doing that. He got his degree when he was, I like to think, I guess he was, noticed some areas in our community were poorly planned, and he knew he could fix it. I remember he was excited to present a report he did on a parking lot facilities in the city of Palmetto. He got interviewed in the newspaper, and we have a clipping of that. But he really wanted to kind of change and fix things in the community, which was really respectable. One final thing about Mark was he bared his soul to pretty much anyone he talked to. In July, we went to my dad's work trip in Amelia Island, and he probably made more friends there than all of us combined. To the lucky ones he texted with, his messages would look something like a short novel. When he got his subject, he knew and enjoyed. He was always offering suggestions and recommendations on new books, music, podcasts, and more. On top of that, he would create wonderful works of art or reminders about times together. For instance, he made a map in his GIS software last year. It was called David Island, the 2020 number one tourist destination in Mark's imagination. It included Whitney Road, Priscilla Trail, Kathleen Nature Preserve, and the Kevin School for Gifted Youngsters. He also made me a custom map of Middle Earth from Lord of the Rings, since he knew I enjoyed the movie so much. Mark was my hero. I hope I can learn to be as selfless, kind, and creative as he was. I'm sad I can't experience more of life with them and regret all the conversations that we never had. Always love him and remember him and hopefully see him again someday.
Mark was my older brother. It was an honor to grow up with him as his sister and his friend. He made me a more thoughtful, empathetic person and changed the way I look at the world. Unlike David and Kevin, who saw and continue to see me as a nuisance, Mark loved being my older brother. He called me his sweet sister, which is a Game of Thrones reference, but also how he thought of me. I discovered a binder in his room last week of my undergraduate senior history thesis, which he'd kept in laminated pages along with my notes on my thesis defense. Mark would also frequently tell me that I was beautiful and that he was proud of me. I very rarely feel accomplished or beautiful, but that's how he saw me. And I think I saw Mark differently than he saw himself. Mark was always the cool O'Leary and the cool older brother. Sorry, David. Sorry, Kevin. He was the heartthrob of my seventh grade class. As an older man, he also had the best hair of the family. Again, sorry, Kevin. Sorry, David. One day on the bus home from school, the class bully and her lackey asked to come over to see Mark. Me being me, I said if they wanted to see Mark, they should bring something to make it worth my while. A $20 bill, perhaps. I never thought they would come, but an hour later, they showed up waving an Andrew Jackson under my nose. But that was Mark. He was enigmatic, kind, and handsome, a real triple threat. Mark also had a wide and eclectic taste in music. I loved listening to his playlists, and one of our favorite bands was the Avett Brothers. I texted him about a song I love a couple years ago, and he said that it was one of his favorites too, and that's what we're gonna play next with the slideshow, Murder in the City.
I get murdered in the city, don't go revenging in my name. One person dead from such is plenty, no need to go get locked away. When I leave your arms, the things that I think of, no need to get over alarmed. I'm coming home. I wonder which brother is better, which one our parents love the most. I sure did get in lots of trouble, that seemed to let the other go. A tear fell from my father's eyes, I wondered what my dad would say. He said, I love you and I'm proud of you both in so many different ways. I get murdered in the city, go read the letter in my desk. Don't bother with all my belongings, but pay attention to the list. Make sure my sister knows I loved her. Make sure my mother knows the same. Always remember there was nothing worth sharing like the love that let us share our name. Always remember there was nothing worth sharing like the love that let us share our name.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not easily, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
I want to read two verses that Laura just mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13 as part of this time of reflection together. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 12, these two verses. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully understand, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. O Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you, O God, as we give praise to you for the gift of life of Mark Patrick O'Leary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, these past 18 months for all of us have been extremely difficult. That goes without saying. We have been and still are in a disastrous pandemic of an illness, and it still causes us concern. All of us, even as we have sought to quarantine and place ourselves at less risk, have all been affected in some way. I have often thought, perhaps selfishly, but I serve a church, I've thought how difficult for our congregation and others, of course, the families and the people I serve here, but I've thought, how can things become more difficult? And then 2 weeks ago from today, Linda called me on a Saturday morning and told me that Mark had died the day before. Disasters and death create disorientation. This past Sunday, I announced the death of five of our members in church, all of them except one, an older member. None of them died from COVID, but all have been sheltered in their homes, and all of them have failed somewhat in the last year in their health. I listed them all chronologically except one. I waited till the very end to mention Mark's death, and then I realized it. I, the pastor, was in denial. I did not want to face this. I can assure you, neither did the family, and neither did you. And we will come to this in a moment, about accidents that happen unexpectedly. We will deal with that in the course of this meditation. We have, none of us, had time to work ourselves through this loss. We are becoming, it is in process, but it is not yet finished. And it perhaps will not be for some time. Love is that way. When you love someone, it is very difficult to let that love go. But our strength, our rock, is knowing that love endures forever. And so that person is never lost and always loved. And so to the O'Leary family today, to Michael, to Linda, their wonderful adult children and their spouses, Kevin and his wife Laura, David and wife Whitney, Kathleen and husband Andrew, grandparents Pete and Evelyn, their other family members, brothers and sisters who are here, you all now have a collective memory of the loss of Mark. And that memory defines you now, and yet it also can give you hope, but it certainly shapes your identity as who you are as a family. We share that memory with you. We are shaped by this loss as well, I can assure you. We are here out of that mutual experience, that mutual grief, and our mutual concern for each one of you. And this is because our faith, all of our faith, is shaped by the events of life. To all of us gathered, we come to celebrate Mark's life, but we also come to support and care for this family. I would remind you that the family's names, for the most part, are in the back of the bulletin, the obituary. They're listed there, and I encourage you to pray for them and to keep in touch in the coming days. The journey, you see, from brokenness to healing and wholeness, it has begun for this family, but it is not finished. And we can all play a significant part in supporting them. I will say this, one of the mistakes that nice people make during the time when others grieve, especially when we contact them, one of the mistakes we often make is we don't mention the loved one who was lost. When you contact them, always mention Mark. In the memory of today, a memory that you had with him, share a story, share a laugh, share something about Lord of the Rings. I wore headphones, a confession. I wore headphones and listened to that movie and the music to it as I wrote some of these words this morning. But that's one of the mistakes nice people make. They don't mention the name of the one that is lost. Mention your enjoyment of his life. I can assure you they will treasure this. I have found this so to be true over the years. And along with the names of Mark's family members are the love that is mentioned that he had for his family. He had a big heart of love for them and for many others, and they for him, as you witnessed this morning. There were things that they mentioned that Mark enjoyed. Let me share just a few of them. They talked about his passion for his field of study, history, trivia, by the way, as well. He wanted to help cities develop and grow. But he also, as they know, liked kayaking and canoeing and hiking. He liked visiting forests and beaches and parks. You name it, he liked the outdoors. In the past year alone, he had been to the Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah National Park, as well as Death Valley and Red Rock Canyon. And he looked forward to more travel, not only in this country, but abroad. And that sounds like a great way to remember this past year and Mark. He obviously loved life. He had many plans for the future. I could go on, and I hope you will do that at the reception with one another in sharing stories and joys. Mark will be terribly missed, but he will not be forgotten. The love he experienced with his family and with others, it endures forever. Forever. Nothing, say the scriptures in Romans 8, can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And our faith tells us that our loved ones are never just lost into dust or some vast sea of void. Never, never. Life endures. Beyond all that we can think, there is always something more profound to come. No matter what we experience in the now, then we will know face to face all the mysteries of the universe. Now is one thing, then is another. And so today, as we celebrate his life and reflect on that loss to us that we've experienced, I want to say lovingly that the occasion of death, especially when it is unexpected and accidental, it can be overwhelmingly painful. And grief over the loss of someone we love, it is experienced not just for a day or a week or a month or a year, it's experienced for a lifetime. Today is a day that is a holy day because it is separate from all other days in our lives as we remember Mark O'Leary and celebrate his life and his love that will endure forever. Many psychologists like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, they have written about the experience of loss, and they have written about the stages of grief. Many of them, and there are volumes of books about this, they say the initial stage of grief is shock. I can't tell you how many audible gasps I heard in the last couple of weeks when people learned of Mark's death. Stunned, numb. That's a stage of grief that is hard. Another stage is denial. I experienced that even in the announcement, even in coming to write these words. I did not want to write them. It seems unreal to accept that Mark is no longer with you and with us. And you will remember that as you come through holidays and holy days and birthdays. It will be unreal that he's not there. And that's a natural feeling. Embrace it. Say it. Oh, if Mark were here. Share that joy. Share the laughter. Share the music. Another stage is emotional release. I said I wasn't going to do that. And yet, it's honest. It's honest. Jesus wept at the news of his friend Lazarus when he died. And crying is good. That's why God gave us tear ducts. We are all human, every one of us. Each one of us comes to a breaking point, a turning point, when something old has passed away and yet something new is born within us. Another stage of grieving for those we love is anger. I don't think anger will be experienced in this loss, but sometimes anger is. I have experienced anger in my own grief throughout life. Sometimes that anger has been toward myself, sometimes others, like a hospital or a doctor, perhaps, almost always misguided anger. Sometimes anger at the one who has died, but we are not our best selves when we get stuck in this stage of grief of anger, but emotional release is natural, and so emotions come. The final stage of grief is acceptance. Each person comes to acceptance in his or her own time, in his or her own way. You cannot rush the grief of a loved one. None of us grieve the same or in the same way in the same time. Two things I want to share with you this morning before I close. Out of those times when we experience painful losses, even out of our brokenness can come grace. I almost used as the passage this morning, the passage from 1 Corinthians about the Lord's table where Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." Out of the brokenness even of the very Son of God comes healing, comes strength, comes hope. It is the sign of love of God for all humanity. The author Ernest Hemingway wrote these words, "Life breaks everyone and then some become strong in the broken places." How do we become strong in broken places? To be wounded and broken, that sounds like weakness, not strength. And yet I have read, and perhaps you have as well, that if you break a bone in the arm or leg, it heals stronger in the place which it is broken, never to be shattered there again. It has a toughness to it and a resistance, and that can come in time for each one of you. I have witnessed many folks over the years in ministry who get clobbered and beaten up by the events of life, and yet I have seen them years later strong and mature from that wounding. When we are broken over time, our relationships even become stronger with one another. You know you become strong when you can taste the tears of a loved one. Over time, even families become stronger, faith in God becomes stronger, and even over time, we find power to help others because we have become wounded healers, and we want to give back. We want to do something in memory and in honor of the loved one that we have lost, that we loved. And this is why you find many times so many charities listed in church bulletins on the occasion of someone's death, so many ways to give back, like on the back of the bulletin this morning, the Bowley Center, which helps so many, one of the options for memorial donations. Donations even made to Northwood are given to help others in mission. In mission. Out of our brokenness comes strength. And then secondly, finally, what I want to mention you, in the passage that Laura read from 1 Corinthians, it says all there is to say for today. It says something about what happens to someone we love when they die. Their partial knowledge becomes full. Their dim vision becomes clear. Now we see a world that's hazy and blurry. There are puzzles to solve, riddles to solve, mysteries. But later, when we are in the very loving presence of God, that love never ends and we see clearly. We see, as the text said, face to face. Now our knowledge is only fragmentary. It's only partial. Ah, but later in the enduring love of God, which fills all time and all space, we will know fully. What lies ahead for Mark is greater than we can ever know. What lies ahead for Mark and those who die is greater than we could ever imagine. Praise be to God for the life given to us in Mark Patrick O'Leary. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father, from whom we come, unto whom we return, and in whom we live and move and have our very being, we praise you this day for the good gift of life, for life's wonder and mystery, its friendships, family, and fellowships. We thank you for the ties that bind us one to another, and for the love that never lets us go, that endures forever, by which nothing can separate us ever from the love of God. We bless you, O Lord, for your loving and patient dealings with us, whereby you do ever teach us your way, not ours. And we thank you for the meaning that lies hidden, even in the heart of sorrow and disappointment and grief. And we thank you for your guiding hand along the way of our life. We give you thanks this day for the life of Mark Patrick O'Leary. We have recalled all that made others to love him, and there is so much more to recall. We bless you, O Lord, for the good and gracious influences of his home, of his training, and for all that he loved in his best life. And most of all, we thank you for the goodness and the truth that have passed from his lives into the lives of others. For truly, the world is made richer for his presence, as are our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your revelation of yourself and your love that has been made known to us in our faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the hope that is set before us in the gospel. And we thank you that deep in the human heart is an unquenchable trust that life does not end in death, but that the Father who made us will care for us beyond the bounds of our vision, even as he has cared for us in this world. This is our prayer through Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing that great hymn of faith, Amazing Grace. The benediction, I'll ask the congregation to be seated as the family exits and goes to the reception area. Thank you for coming. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.